I'm Veronica Rickert.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell. Wisconsin Public Radio's news director Michael Leland joins us now to talk about what's making news in Wisconsin.
Michael, welcome back.
Hey, nice to be here.
So with the end of the session, lots of legislation moving along at a fast clip there. Also, the Health Care Act has had people scrambling for modifications here in Wisconsin. We saw Governor Walker talking about this yesterday, in particular relating to badger care. So let's start there. What did he say yesterday about his decisions on badger care?
Sure. As we've been reporting for the last several months now, there are about 77,000 people in Wisconsin who are being moved from the state's Badger Care Plus program onto the federal insurance market. Now, these are people whose earnings are above the poverty level, who had been on Badger Care before. The governor now wants them onto the Affordable Care Act. The coverage was to end at the end of this year, and to have insurance through this new federal marketplace, you've got to enroll in it by December 15th. But as we all know, there's a little bit of trouble with that. That's because the healthcare.gov website where you go to enroll in this new coverage has been having all sorts of problems since it went online at the beginning of October. In October, only about 877 people in Wisconsin were actually able to enroll in this new thing. So this is what led to the governor yesterday saying he wants to push that date off now until the end of March.
And we've also heard that there is another group of people who was supposed to be moved onto Badger Care, people who are below the poverty line without dependents, and they'll be delayed now. Is that the latest?
Right. They will be delayed again until the end of March, until the rest of this is taken care of. There's actually another group. These are people who are in what's called the Health Insurance Risk Sharing Plan. These are people who can't get insurance of their own, either because they've got a medical condition and they're not able to get private insurance, or they've lost their employer sponsored coverage. About 25,000 people in that group. They were to have their coverage ended at the end of the year and moved on to this federal exchange. They're going to be part of this delay. How this is all going to happen is the governor's called a special session of the legislature. He wants them to come back to Madison next month and pass a bill that would allow people to keep their Badger Care Plus coverage or this risk sharing plan coverage through the end of March.
Now, Tammy Baldwin had been among those calling for an extension of Badger Care coverage. The special session you're talking about, is this pretty much a done deal?
It is. Well, if the governor calls them into session, there'll be a session. As far as what happens once the lawmakers come to Madison is another story. And the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, says he supports the governor's proposal, but he wants March 31st to be a hard deadline and no stretching it out beyond that. And his hope is that the federal government gets this taken care of by the time the end of March rolls around. Over on the Senate, the Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, didn't come out and say that he supports the governor's plan, but he says he will work with the governor to offer what he calls solutions to the people of the state.
All right. So it might not be to the letter what we heard yesterday. Some different solution could emerge, but there will be a special
There'll
session.
There'll be talk and something will be done by the time, probably within the month of December.
All right. So things happening there that we'll be watching. Let's move on to another hot spot in the state, looking at access to a mine site in northern Wisconsin. Catch us up on what's happening there.
Sure. This is the site up in Ashland and Iron counties where Gogebic Taconite wants to build, dig an iron ore mine. The bill that was passed by the Assembly late last night would scale back public access to this area where the iron ore mine is proposed. It would create, in essence, a 600-foot zone around any mining equipment or roads being used for the mining, and that would be off limits to the public. This is land right now that's in the state's managed forest program, which is an agreement between property owners and the state. The property owners get a big tax break in exchange for keeping that land open for hiking and hunting. This would actually take some of that land and say, even though it's in this program, you can't go in these areas because it's too close to mining equipment or to roads that are used for mining.
Now, this has been contentious, to say the very least. There's been lots of push and pull, and we haven't nearly seen the end of what's going to happen. But in terms of what supporters and critics are saying, catch us up on what people are thinking about this legislation.
Sure. Supporters say this is needed because we may remember last June some protesters who don't want the mine were harassing workers. They damaged some equipment. They took a camera from the site. They also say that people have routinely entered that area, and they say this is all about making sure that Gugibic Taconite's workers and its contractors can do their jobs without worrying about being harassed or other security issues. On the other side, opponents are saying that these security worries are overblown, and some have said that if Gugibic Taconite really wants to keep people off its land, it can do that by just taking this land out of the managed forest program and pay the higher taxes on it, and at that point they can do whatever they want and let whomever they like onto or keep them off the property.
Now, that's what opponents are saying. Is there any indication that Gugibic Taconite might do just that and take it off the managed forest?
Not likely. I think this is the law that will be law as soon as the governor signs it. The Senate passed it earlier this month. It's now going to the governor for his signature, and it looks like this is the way it's going to go.
All right. So that one looks like it's pretty much a done deal at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, another story we've been watching here on Central Time, the Chief Justice selection. It has been Shirley Abrahamson for a lot of years, and that might change now. What's happening?
This would be actually a constitutional amendment would be required for this to go into effect, changing how Wisconsin selects its Chief Justice. Now, for 124 years, the senior justice on the Supreme Court has served as the Chief Justice automatically. You've been there the longest, you get the job. Under this new bill, this amendment would call for the Chief Justice to be elected every 2 years by the seven justices on the High Court. So they would choose who would be the Chief Justice. What does the Chief Justice do? There's a number of ceremonial duties that come with the job. Also, the Chief Justice in Wisconsin is the administrative head of the state's court system and submits a budget for the system to the legislature each year. And as you mentioned, right now, that Chief Justice is Shirley Abrahamson. She's been on the court for 37 years and has been Chief Justice for the last 17.
So in terms of power and influence, is the Chief Justice, would you say, is it largely an honorary title with some extra paperwork on the side, or is there a lot of clout that comes along with this?
It probably more the first thing you said. There are ceremonial duties, but the Chief Justice doesn't play any larger role than anyone else on the court in deciding what cases get heard and that sort of thing. The Chief Justice is the administrative head, submits the budget for the court system. So there's some paperwork and that sort of thing that goes with that. But there's no, significant more power that comes with being Chief Justice than if you were one of the other justices on the court.
So why do you think we're seeing this now?
It really depends on who you ask. Supporters say that this is all about democracy, letting the justices choose who will be the chief. They say 22 states do this already, and that the way Wisconsin does this, basically giving up the job by seniority, is outmoded. Opponents say this is really all about Republicans wanting to get Shirley Abrahamson out of the Chief Justice job. She's one of two politically liberal justices on the court, and with four pretty solid conservatives on the court, it's likely they'd elect one of their own as Chief Justice if they had an opportunity.
Well, as you said, unlike the mine site access legislation that we were just talking about, which is just waiting the stamp of the governor, this one is stickier. It requires a constitutional amendment. So how rocky a road is that?
Exactly. It's how rocky depends on the makeup of the next legislature, but it's a longer process. Right now, it's been passed by the Senate and the Assembly. And there it will sit until the next legislative session, which begins in January of 2015, when a new legislature is seated. And then this comes up before each of those houses again. They can't change the amendment. They can just vote it up or down based on how it is written now. If it passes again, then it goes to the voters, likely in the fall of 2015, and that would be the earliest that that voters could get their say in it, and the earliest that this could become part of the Wisconsin Constitution if it goes through this whole process.
All right, so we'll be watching that one. And, of course, we have been waiting patiently for a decision on the casino in Kenosha. How would you like to be the first news person in Wisconsin to call it, Michael?
I would love to be the first, but I can't. we will continue waiting. We will go into the weekend still without a decision on whether there will be a casino. The Menominee Tribe wants a casino, $800 million casino and entertainment complex in Kenosha. Two of the tribes, the Potawatomi and the Ho-Chunk, oppose it. the other's favorite. The governor has to decide. He says he's weighing the number of jobs that would be created versus the number of jobs that may be lost in other parts of the state, presumably where these other two tribal casinos are. So we're still waiting. Maybe next week, maybe a little longer. The governor actually has about until next August to make a decision. He says he won't take that long, but he will take the appropriate amount of time to make a decision.
Okay. So nothing solid there yet.
Another thing
to watch. All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate your time.
That was Michael Leland, Wisconsin Public Radio's news director. Don't forget, you can keep up with what's happening here on Central Time by taking a look at our Facebook page. You can post comments there if you'd like. And you can also see some of the behind-the-scenes action here at Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.